As we saw last week, Revelation 17 is God's judgment on the religious Babylon. Here we're going to see today God's judgment on the political and economic part of Babylon. And if you talk to and listen to many dispensationalists, they will say that this is America. I don't believe we can dogmatically say that, but I want you to consider, though, the reason why they say that is because the economic system is rooted in New York. In many cases, the New York Stock Exchange, the stock market in New York City is often a key as far as global markets. But also another reason they say that is because the United Nations is found there as well. And I want you to consider that this is Rome. This is the Babylonian system that God has judged, and he is going to judge. I believe this, in many aspects, this is future. And yet I want you to consider that even as we see some economic things taking place today, I believe that God is setting this up. I read here this last week that our nation has finally reached $30 trillion of debt. You think about that as a nation. Not only that, but you think about global markets as well. I really believe that God is judging this world, and we'll talk about that here today. Notice it says here in verses 1 and following, "And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and notice the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judgeth her." Don't you notice back in verse 1 it says, "After these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory." There are some who suggest that is the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't believe it's necessarily in this passage saying that, because angels can appear in a bright appearance. But notice great power and glory. Notice it says here, he cried mightily with a strong voice saying, Babylon the great is fallen. Again, it's repeated for emphasis. It's sure. It's going to happen. And notice is present tense become the habitation of devils. The hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Notice to me, Isaiah chapter 13. I forgot the reference there. Isaiah chapter 13. I want you to notice here. And I forgot to mention, as we read and study through this passage here today, Revelation 18, we're going to see many references. We're not going to look at all of them up, but we're going to see many references to the Old Testament prophets. That's why I say there's prophetic language that we see here emphasized in relation to this prophecy upon Babylon. Notice to me Isaiah chapter 13. For the context, I want you to notice here, at verse 1 emphasizes what this is about. The burden of Babylon, which Isaiah the son of Amoz did see. Now as far as the spiritual nature of Babylon, notice verses 19 and following. Isaiah 13 verse 19. Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees' excellency shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. Notice that picture. There are Bible skeptics who say and look, study through Genesis and see, the Bible's full of errors. You can't find any evidence that there was a Sodom and Gomorrah. Duh. God destroyed it so much you couldn't find it. As when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. So many times they open their mouths and they express the ignorance and the foolishness they have in their hearts. It shall never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. Neither shall the Arabian pitch tent there. That's interesting. Neither shall the shepherds make their fold there, but wild beasts of the desert shall lie there, and their houses shall be full of doleful creatures, and owls shall dwell there. Every once in a while I'll have a reminder of this type of prophecy as we hear the owl behind our house. Lying quiet there at night, you can hear the owl hooting. Notice, owls shall dwell there. Of course, in the Old Testament, that Old Testament law, an owl and various eagles and all that were considered to be unclean birds. And notice, satyrs shall dance there. Many believe that this is a reference to demons. You do a study of satyrs. If I remember right, they're like goats, part goat and all that. But that's that's symbolism of demonic spirits. And the wild beasts of the islands shall cry in their desolate houses, and dragons in their pleasant palaces. And her time is near to come, and her day shall not be prolonged. The judgment was going to be certain. Notice with me also 1 Timothy chapter 4. I want you to notice a New Testament reference here to the demonic, the devilish spirit of this system. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I believe we see a very clear reference again here to the Roman Catholic Church. We've looked at this in our study before. I want you to see this again because of the references to devils and all that. It says here, verse 1, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits." And notice this, doctrines of devils. All right, in case you want to know who this religious system is, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, celibacy, and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Notice here this idea of abstaining from meats during Lent season, all those kinds of things. Notice also 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 19. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 19. "What say I then? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils." They see their image. They think they're sacrificing to some image, some idol. But in reality, the Bible says God sees that they're sacrificing to devils and not to God. And I would that ye should have fellowship. Would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You can't have it both ways. That's why I'm amazed how evangelical leaders think that they can fellowship with Roman Catholicism. How is that possible? They're obviously not reading and preaching the Word of God, or they're using such perversion that's watered down and they can't see it. Notice, ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. We must separate from idolatry. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? While we're close here, notice with me 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to see this here in a moment here in a couple of verses in Revelation, so let's go ahead and look at this while we're close here. Let's be reminded again of what God tells us in relation to this Bible doctrine of separation. There are so many who are not preaching this, do not hold to this anymore. We must separate from those who are ungodly. I cannot believe how people can fellowship. I've mentioned this about the assassination fellowship, pastoral assassination club in Clear Lake, Iowa, when we were there. How I was put on their list without my permission. I went to that Lutheran pastor that was organizing it at that time. I said, "You take my name off. I did not give you permission." "Well, we just meant it as a courtesy to you." And then talking to him, I find out that he married a Baptist mid-missions, MK. She became a Lutheran. How convenient. But I want you to consider that pastoral club there worked with Mormons, Roman Catholics, Lutherans, evangelical free. That was this Baptist preacher is not going to be a part of it. Separate. Notice it says here in verse 14, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness?" Let me just say this. I just recently read the biography of George Whitefield. I understand he's a Protestant. But I wanted to read something about colonial America. Now, there's a two-sided thing as far as George Whitefield. First of all, he united a lot of the colonies together just before the War for Independence and all that. But here's the other side of that, though. There's a two-sided issue of that. George Whitefield had no problems with everyone working together. But what I thought was interesting, this is what I wanted to take notice of and to see. How many times I would see notice of Baptists working with George Whitefield? I do not remember seeing one reference to Baptist churches cooperating with these big evangelistic campaigns of George Whitefield. I thought that was very interesting. That's very significant. I want you to consider that we must separate. If we're going to be just like everyone else, then we've lost our reason for existence. It's been a while since I've said that, so let's be reminded of that. We are to separate from those who do not agree. Fundamentals of the faith. Something else. We were watching the video Sheffy here again recently. And all of a sudden, of course, if you don't know anything about Bob Jones University, they are not a Baptist university, not a Baptist college. But I've never caught this before. That when people were saved in their meetings, there is not one scene whatsoever of somebody being baptized by immersion. No baptism whatsoever. I want you to consider that is a fundamental of the faith, but it did not get on the list of the five fundamentals. That's why I refer to myself now as a separate Baptist, not as a fundamentalist. Fundamentalism is a Protestant movement that we associated with because of a fight against liberalism. When we started associating with them, then we also, Baptists, also took on their movement towards new evangelicalism. That's why we see so many fundamental Baptists today compromising today. We must separate. Again, notice here what he says, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? A lot of these Protestants are led by unbelievers in their hierarchy. And it trickles down. That's why they have the battle over sodomites. That's why the battle over all these things in these Protestant churches today. Because they're led, they're ruled by unbelievers. What do we have in common? And what concord hath Christ with Belial, the devil? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Just overlook the issue of baptism. I'm supposed to overlook something that my forefathers were willing to be drowned for? God help us, how much compromise we've allowed into our churches today. Notice back in Revelation 18. I said all that to say this. Notice here it says, verse 3 then. Again, this Babylonian system is full of devils. It's become the habitation of devils. That is a demonic religion that's down the street here. I'm sorry, our culture no longer accepts that. Probably 3 out of 4 churches or more would see a problem with me saying that that church down the street here is full of devils. That's what the Bible says. So are we going to believe what the Bible says, or are we going to hold to what man says so we can be accepted? God help us. God help us. For all nations, Rome, pagan, as I've been reading these older books, there's a distinction that they make between Rome, different Roman empires. There's Rome pagan and there's Rome papal. Both of them are the same. Notice here, all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. I believe this is an introduction to what we see here in this passage. Notice all nations This is the sea of humanity that we've been seeing referenced in the book of Revelation. All nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. This is a reference here to idolatrous worship. It is spiritual idolatry. Literally, this is an apostate system that was a part, claimed Christianity. The Church of Rome was a Christian church, a true church at one point. That's the Roman church that Paul wrote to. But it was corrupted doctrinally. It took on idolatrous worship, in particular when Constantine was emperor. That's when it all flooded into this Roman church. Literally, Constantine declared Christianity as a legal religion. And the church and state were united together. So how does the Roman church deal with the Roman pagan gods? Just give them Christian names. Literally. If we put a manger scene up here, we are tapping right into Roman Catholicism. Mother-child worship in Rome became Mary and Jesus in the Roman church. You don't believe me? You visit places where pagan Catholicism is prominent in these small towns. Sanderson, Texas, we saw it firsthand. Literally, they set up this manger scene and they sit across the street in the courtyard parking lot, the courthouse parking lot, and do their Hail Marys to these manger scenes. Not only that, but somebody who was saved out of that saw the Baptist church set up a manger scene at the front of the church. I thought I was told not to worship that anymore. Former Roman Catholics see the difference, but Baptists can't. It's a sad day. It's a sad day that our thinking has been so corrupted that we don't think biblically anymore. It is fornication. It is spiritual adultery. That's what the Bible says. And notice the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. I've talked to you about our presidents who have bowed before the Roman Pope. That is spiritual fornication. It is a wickedness before God that God is going to judge. Not only that, but the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies, her luxury. This whole system, this worldly system, is rooted in luxury. Delicacies, the abundance of her delicacies. Notice the challenge to us as believers. I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. Be not partakers of her sins, that ye receive not of her plagues. If we do not separate from that system, then we are deserving of God's judgment that he pours out upon this system. Again, this is the political and economic side of this Roman papal system, the Babylon, spiritual Babylon. And again, as you think about the references, Isaiah, here's another reference to Jeremiah 15, verse 8. You don't need to look at it. Literally, John is quoting almost verbatim some of these passages from the Old Testament prophets. But notice again this command that God gives. Notice, I heard another voice from heaven. This is different than the angel. This is the voice from heaven. This is God himself saying, come out of her, my people. Why? Because you're going to partake in her sins. And you're also going to receive of her plagues. The warning is clearly given. My people, separate. I think here of the example of what Jesus said to his disciples. I want to remind you that, remember when they were looking at the temple and, oh, master, what buildings are here? So Jesus says, you know, you're impressed with these buildings. I tell you, the day is coming when there will not be one stone left upon another. So that's when his disciples, when's this going to take place? What's this all about, Jesus? Now, there's a lot of dispensationalists who will take Matthew 24 and those other passages and say that that's about the second coming of Christ, when he's coming back at the end of the tribulation. No, the context, Jesus is talking to his disciples. And he says, when you see, he's answering three disciples' questions. When you see the Roman armies coming, know that the desolation of the city is nigh at hand. The desolation of the temple is nigh at hand. That's exactly what happened in AD 70. In fact, I've told you this before. There's no reference of any believers in Christ, any Christians dying in the slaughter of Jerusalem, as 1.1 million Jews were slaughtered by the Roman Empire, the Roman military. There's no reference. Josephus talks about this. Jewish historian Josephus. Not one. Why? Because they knew what Jesus said. That when you see the desolation, see the armies of the enemy around Jerusalem, know that the desolation is nigh. They got out of Jerusalem. They went to the mountains just like Jesus said. And their lives were spared. Why is it that we take all of that stuff and twist it for some Jesuit system? I just received an email here this last week in which I was thanked for admitting that I preached error for 30 years. I'm not saying, maybe you don't see that I've been preaching error for 30 years. But when I see that Schofield and the Bible do not match up, I'm going to go with the Bible. I don't care if 3/4, 90% or whatever, the rest of fundamentalism doesn't agree with me. I'm going to give an account to the Lord Jesus Christ someday. Not to the masses of those who are believing a private interpretation of prophecy. Again, he says, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Notice with me back in chapter 16, verse 19. I told you that Revelation 16 was God's judgment on this outpouring of his judgment on this beastly system. I said, Revelation 16, verse 19. The great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give in unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Chapter 14, Revelation 14, and verse 18. I'm sorry, I have the wrong reference here. Verse 8. Revelation 14, verse 8. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Again, we see that that was announced back there. Now we see the fulfillment of this in God's timing. And I believe, again, this is hereafter. He's starting the process of judging this Babylonian system, I believe, even today. And we're going to see the fulfillment of this until the end. Notice it says, again, her sins have reached unto heaven. And God hath remembered her iniquities. A passage that we've looked at a few times is 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 in relation to Israel. Literally where it talks about, as they said, his blood be on us and all our children. They literally brought God's wrath upon them. Wrath to the uttermost, it says. You think about what God does with his wrath. We've seen this before in the book of Revelation. God fills it up. God fills it up. God fills it up. In his mercy, his long suffering, he waits. He waits as his wrath is filling up. It's like he puts his wrath in this vial. And he says, all right, it's full. Time has come. Notice it says, it has reached, her sins have reached unto God in heaven. God has remembered her iniquities. God has not forgotten, folks. God has not forgotten. He has not forgotten. God is going to judge the wickedness of this world. Well, when's God going to take care? God in his time, when his wrath is full, he will take care of it. He has not forgotten. It says, God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you. And double. Now he's talking to his people here. Notice again, verse 4. Come out of her, my people. He's talking to his people here. Reward her even as she rewarded you. And double unto her, double according to her works. Notice this. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. Jesus talks about the same that we measure out, we will receive back in measure. Think about what Jesus is saying, or God is saying here. Of course, this is Jesus speaking through to John in relation to this. But you notice it says here, in the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. What is that cup? Well, this is the cup that the papacy used to afflict God's people. Use the same cup. So here's this judgment that she's dished out to God's people, the saints of God. Now she's going to receive in the same cup of affliction. Notice it says in verse 7, how much she hath glorified herself and live deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. Notice, the same measure. Use the same measure. The measure that she has dished out, she's going to receive back. Use the same measure, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, this is another reference to Isaiah. She saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. The Roman Catholic Church calls Mary the Queen of Heaven. But it's interesting, the Roman Catholic Church calls the church, their church, the Mother Church. Well, again, we've already seen reference to that back in chapter 17, Mother of Harlots, Abominations of the Earth. I want you to notice with me Isaiah 47. I want you to see the reference here. Isaiah 47. Verse 5 and following. Again, I think it's interesting how many times Jesus, and John writing these things down, refers back to Old Testament prophecies. Isaiah 47, verse 5, sit thou silent and get thee into darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called the Lady of Kingdoms. I was wroth with my people, I have polluted mine inheritance and given them into thine hand. Notice what God is saying to Babylon here, the Chaldeans. Thou didst show them no mercy. Upon the ancient hast thou very heavily laid thy yoke. From what I understand, King Nebuchadnezzar and his military left older people just butchered. Just left them there. Thou saidst, I shall be a lady forever. So that thou didst not lay these things to thy heart, neither didst remember the latter end of it. Therefore hear now this, thou that art given to pleasures, that dwellest carelessly, that sayest in thine heart, I am and none else. I'm sorry, I skipped over a page here. Thou sayest in thine heart, I am and none else beside me. I am not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. But these two things shall come to thee in a moment in one day. The loss of children and widowhood, they shall come upon thee in their perfection for the multitude of thy sorceries and for the great abundance of thine enchantments. For thou hast trusted in thy wickedness. Notice that. Thou hast trusted in thy wickedness like our rulers today. Thou hast said, none seeth me. No one's going to hold me accountable for this. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it hath perverted thee. And thou hast said in thine heart, I am and none else beside me. Therefore shall evil come upon thee. Thou shalt not know from whence it riseth. And mischief shall fall upon thee. And thou shalt not be able to put it off. And desolation shall come upon thee suddenly, which thou shalt not know. In 1 hour, we see back in Revelation 18. Notice again, John's writing here what Jesus says. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow. I shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day. It's going to be sudden. Death and mourning and famine. I think back to 9/11, 20 years ago. How many preachers I heard of using this passage to say, well, look, this is partial fulfillment for the Twin Towers coming down, even though our government had a part in that, obviously. Notice again, in one day, 1 hour, it's going to come suddenly. Notice, in one day, death and mourning and famine. She shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. Notice here now we see reference to the political rulers. The kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously. Indulgence and luxury, lived deliciously with her, shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. Pause there just a moment. You think about how many rulers and leaders around our world have the same agenda as we see in our nation, as we see in Canada, literally around the world. We'll talk about that in the next hour, one of the clues to that. But I want you to notice here, the kings of the earth are part of this system. And notice they're going to bewail and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. Why? Because kings profited from this system. Think about that. Not only kings, but also congressmen. You know, it's a sad day when congressmen, after they've been in office for decades, come out multimillionaires. Very interesting. Standing afar off with a fear of her torment, saying, "Alas, alas, the great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come." Notice there's no sorrow here for sin. There's no sorrow for wickedness. Their sorrow is for financial loss. That's why you see people jumping to their death when they have some stock market crash. That's the kings. We'll talk about the merchants here in a moment. Notice there's sorrow for financial loss. They're sorrowing and mourning for the consequence. There is no repentance for their wickedness. Now we have the economic rulers, the merchants. Notice the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious. Notice this all-encompassing exhaustive list. I believe what Jesus is wanting to say here through John is that it's going to affect every aspect of the economy of the world. Now, I believe our government leaders have this plan to crash the economic systems of the world because they want to push us all into this same digital currency. That's their agenda. God's going to use their wicked schemes and all that to accomplish his purposes. I'm convinced of that. So in case you're tempted to buy all kinds of gold and silver, you know, precious metals and all that kind of stuff, remember here, it's going to be worthless soon, someday. So keep it in balance as the people of God. The merchandise of gold and silver. I'm not saying you shouldn't prepare. Don't misunderstand what I just said. But don't put all your stock into gold stocks. Silver, precious stones, of pearls. Notice this wealthy system. In fact, there's very interesting correlation here with the kingdom of Tyre, T-Y-R-E. Ezekiel 26 through 28. Very similar wording in relation to that. Tyre was destroyed by Babylon. And God destroyed Babylon later then. And of pearls and fine linen and purple, silk and scarlet, and all thyine wood, and all manner of vessels of ivory, and all manner of vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble. Notice again, all these examples. Then cinnamon and odors and ointments, frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots. You know, their expensive limousines and sports cars and all that kind of stuff. And notice these last two on this list. And slaves and souls of men. Well, there's no slavery today. Don't kid yourself. Don't kid yourself. In fact, there's many who suggest and are searching this out that a lot of these children that turn up missing end up in slavery to the perversions of men. Jeffrey Epstein had to get his teenage girls somewhere. Don't fool yourself. They're still slaves today. But notice this also. Souls of men. This is spiritual. There's a spiritual bondage to this religious system. Well, you can't leave the Roman Catholic Church. You can't leave Mother Church or you lose your salvation. Oh, you should be in church. A Bible-preaching Baptist church. But this is not going to keep you saved by being here. There's a bondage to religion. The souls of men, they're in bondage to this religious system. That's why I say there's only two kingdoms. Christ's kingdom, through what Jesus Christ has already done on the cross, his death and rising again. And this kingdom, Satan's kingdom. There's only one of two kingdoms. If you've not placed your faith in Jesus Christ and him alone for salvation, you are not in Christ's kingdom. You're in the devil's kingdom. And notice the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee. And all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee. He's talking to the merchants here. And thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things, which were made rich by her, millionaires and billionaires, shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing. Again, there's no repentance for wickedness by being a part of this system. They're weeping and wailing because of her suffering. They're standing afar off. By the way, where are they when the judgment comes? I don't want anything to do with it. Why? Because they're fearful of God's judgment. Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. Let me pause there just a moment. There's three cities in the book of Revelation that are called a great city. Jerusalem in chapter 11, verse 8, which is like Sodom and Egypt. Rome, which is Babylon, and also New Jerusalem. Satan always has his counterfeit of God's perfection. For in 1 hour, so great riches is come to naught. And every shipmaster, and all the company of ships, company in ships, and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off. It's very interesting. This is taken from Ezekiel 27. Again, a reference to Tyre. Tyre was a coastal city. And they literally did trade with the nations of the world. So this picture of Tyre being destroyed by Babylon, God's judgment, is a picture of what's going to happen as far as this city, this system. And notice they cried when they saw this, the smoke of her burning, saying, "What city is like unto this great city?" I am so thankful we have a great city we're looking forward to that is going to be eternal, eternal in the heavens. That's the city that Abraham was looking for. Abraham wasn't looking for the great city Jerusalem, which is now like Sodom and Egypt. What city is like unto this great city? They're saying this as they're watching the city burn. We'll never see that with New Jerusalem, that great city that comes down from God out of heaven. And notice this morning here says, they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, "Alas, alas, that great city, wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For in 1 hour is she made desolate." Yeah, this has all been preparing, but just like that, God's going to destroy this wicked system out of Rome. "Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her." Notice, it's not our place to take vengeance. God's going to take care of it in a big way someday. "And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone," not a literal millstone, "like a great millstone, and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all." This is a reference back to Jeremiah 51. Where Jeremiah was told to write out a prophecy regarding Babylon. He was to attach a millstone to it and cast it into the river. Literally, to picture the fact that this system was going to drown. It was going to be buried in the river. And notice, "the voice of the harpers and musicians, of pipers and trumpeters, shall be heard no more at all in thee." Notice this phrase, how many times it's emphasized and repeated in these few verses. Notice, there's no entertainment anymore. No music, no partying. There's a reference back to Isaiah 24 and Jeremiah in various places. It says, "No more at all in thee, and no craftsman, of whatsoever craft he be, shall be found any more in thee. The sound of a millstone, industry, shall be heard no more at all in thee. The light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee." Notice again the emphasis. And this is going to be the message for the next hour, because you notice it says, "For thy merchants were the great men of the earth." They're powerful men in the earth. Thy merchants. We're not talking about kings here now. We're talking about merchants ruling the world. That sounds familiar. You need an example? Bill Gates. This is being fulfilled right now. "Thy merchants were the great men of the earth." George Soros. These are merchants ruling as kings today. But notice it says, "For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived." You do a study of that word sorceries. It's the Greek word pharmakeia. pharmacia. Pharmaceuticals. All of that comes out of that word that is translated sorceries in our Bibles. It's also translated as witchcraft. That's interesting. Wonder how many of these merchants that are great men of the earth are involved in some pagan religion. So I did a search of the definitions related to this Greek word, pharmakia. To use or the administration of drugs. Here's another definition. Poisoning from the merchants as they've deceived the nations. This is exactly what we see right now. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. COVID vaccines, I believe, is a very clear application. Notice with me Matthew 23. Matthew 23. But did you notice the emphasis? All nations have been deceived. Some have been so deceived, they drive around in their own cars by themselves with a mask on, even when the mask mandates are gone. Walking down the street in the open air with a mask on. Wonder if they do that in their own homes. I'm afraid of your germs, wife. We've been deceived. Many have been deceived. We should not be. Matthew 23, notice verse 29 and following. This is the condemnation of the Pharisees, the scribes, and all that. But I want to use this as an illustration here because it talks about the prophets, the saints, and all that being killed, literally, by this system, which I believe natural Israel, natural Jerusalem was a part of. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish, decorate the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. Notice this statement. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers. Remember we saw the measurement? Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes. That's not the scribes of Israel. These are Christian scribes copying the word of God and so on. And some of them ye shall kill and crucify. And some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Berechias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. Now, as we close, notice again, it says, in her was found the blood of the prophets, the saints, and of all that were slain upon the earth. I really believe the merchants of the earth right now, they're pushing all of this upon us and be held accountable someday for the death of thousands, yea, of millions of people. I believe with all my heart. God has not forgotten. We saw that in this passage. Can I emphasize us as believers? Two things in particular. First of all, it says, come out of her, my people. If it has anything to do with this system of this world, then we need to avoid it. I've already told you about the Jesuit title, a lot of this stuff. Come out of her, my people. And second of all, keep your focus on the Lord and not on the wickedness of this world. If you don't keep your focus on the Lord, you will end up living in despair like the unbelievers all around us. Our focus needs to remain on the Lord, the judge of all the earth, who's going to right all wrong someday. Father, I pray that you'd help us to keep our focus in the right place. Father, this was given to John for the churches, announcing the judgment of this world system. In chapter 17, the religious system of this world. Chapter 18, the political and economic system. Lord Jesus Christ, you are the King of kings and Lord of lords. You're the blessed and only potentate. You are ruler. But the kings of this earth are conspiring against you, refusing to yield themselves to you, even as we see in Psalm 2. Lord, I pray that you'd help us as believers in Christ to keep our focus on you and not the wickedness of this world, because you have not forgotten and you have promised someday you're going to right all these wrongs. Let me just say this, every head bowed and every eye closed. I want you to just consider this before God today. Which kingdom are you in today? Which kingdom are you in today? I see very clearly in the Bible there's only two kingdoms. The kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of light. The kingdom of the dragon, Satan, and the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have not placed your faith in Jesus Christ and what he has already done for you, you're in Satan's kingdom. I don't care how religious you are. I don't care what kind of religious motions you've gone through. Unless you're trusting in Jesus Christ and him alone, you are in Satan's kingdom. And where that kingdom is heading is the lake of fire. We're heading to that chapter here very soon, when we see the end of all those who do not receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Today is the day of salvation. Today. We don't know how long we have. The Bible very clearly says that Jesus Christ himself said, no man knows the hour. Are you ready? Do you have your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Today is the day of salvation.